Tonight, we're actually looking at the name of our series tonight is Making Wise Decisions. And so we're looking at, we're going to ask God tonight, help us figure out how to make some really wise decisions because we're going into summer. Some people are getting ready to go away to college. Others are like looking at getting jobs or maybe you just got your license. Like everybody in the room, right? You're in different spots, but you all have decisions to make no matter where you are along that journey. And so tonight we're asking God, help us to figure out how to make some wise decisions the way he would have us make them. And so tonight I have, let me do this. Who's really good at making decisions? You'd be like, man, I'm a great decision maker. You want me on your team every time. All right, dude, get up here. Yeah. I see that hand right here in the front row. Jump up here. Let's see. So here's what we got going on. You stand right there. Okay. Yeah, that's your spot. So I have brought two things. We got two things going on. First of all, have you seen like Deal or No Deal? Anybody see that show? Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. This is just a straight up box of beef jerky. There's beef jerky in there, and this could just be yours right now. It's here. You see it. You know what it is. It's full. It's a bunch of them in here, okay? So beef jerky. It's expensive nowadays. Beef jerky is so expensive. Okay, so you can have this. No questions asked. Or I have this Amazon package with this thing that I ordered, and so you can have whatever's inside this Amazon package, but I'm not going to show you or tell you what it is. Nope, no shaking. That's like me at Christmas time. No, you ain't allowed. So you can either have whatever's in there, but I ain't telling you what it is. You have to just guess. Or you can just play it safe and be like, straight up beef jerky, filling my belly up. What? I can't tell you. All you can do is look and just say, okay, whatever that is, I'm going to take that. And if it stinks, it's on you. And if it's just full of like wads of $100 bills, that could be too. I don't know. It could be anything. Maybe it's a new laptop that I ordered and it's in there just for you to take home fully loaded. You want the box? All right, open it up and find out what's in there. Show us. You wait, hold on. Are you sure you don't want the beef jerky? Three, two, one. Take the box, but don't open it up. Show us what you got. Show us what you got. He's taking the box. He's making a wise decision here. What's inside the bag? That's an Amazon bag, bro. It's the Amazon box. It goes with it. What is it? What is it? Tell him.
I got like five gummies.
Gummies. You got some fruit snacks. You got some fruit snacks. You should have taken the jerky.
I just wanted the bag.
You can take the bag. Go ahead. You can actually have that too. Get up. Okay. Go ahead. That was a terrible choice. Terrible decision. All right. I don't mean to publicly shame you, but I'm gonna. So here's the deal. He had no idea what was in this box, right? And so that kind of seems like a scary choice because I don't know what's in this box. I have no idea what I'm gonna get, and it could be a total fail. But the beef jerky, I'm looking at that beef jerky, right? And I'm like, man, there could be, like, I know what this is. I can't go wrong with this decision. So how do you make that choice, right? Because it feels like life is full of choices like that. I wish they were all easy. I wish it was all like either beef jerky or a Ferrari. Like, okay, easy choice. But see, life's tricky and it's not always like that. A lot of times you have this choice right in front of you and you're like, this one seems safe. I know what it is. Like, I can go with this. Or this future thing that I don't know what's going to happen in the future if I decide to do this. It's riskier. So maybe it'll fall apart on me. Maybe it'll be empty. Maybe it won't turn out to be what I'm asking or wanting this thing to be, right? That seems to be how life hands us choices. So when we're in situations like that, how do you make a wise decision? Like, what are you going to just guess every time? And does God have anything to say about that? So we're actually going to look at someone who made some terrible choices like Zeke just did. Sorry, bud. But we're going to look at Jonah tonight. Jonah made some absolutely miserable choices, didn't he? Like, they weren't wise at all. So if you guys want to open up to the book of Jonah, we're going to just kind of pop through and see some verses throughout the book and look at some of his choices and mistakes that he made in making those choices. So Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 say, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" So stop for a second. Okay, first of all, whoa. Okay, like if God was like, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to New York City. I want you to start walking through the streets of New York, this big, massive, powerful city. And I just want you to tell everybody like, hey, you're basically going to hell, all of you. And you're just going to march through and you're going to just yell it out and proclaim it and let everybody know that they got an issue that needs to be dealt with. Like, that could be a scary task. And that's basically what God's telling Jonah to do, but like way worse because he's going to Nineveh. Nineveh's the enemy. Nineveh's people that like, they did not jive well with the Jews. And so God's like, hey, go to these people who hate you, who want to kill you, go there and help them out with the truth. man, trying to make that choice, right? And that was what was in front of him. So I'm not saying he didn't have this big, big, hard choice to make, but he made a bad one. Jonah was this guy who was a prophet. If you don't know much about Jonah or the Old Testament, he was a prophet of God. And a prophet's job was to take God's messages, his words, and bring it to the people. He's communicating for God to people. And so Jonah, that was his job. God called Jonah to go bring this message. And so when he comes up to him, he's like, the message is for Nineveh. Immediately, Jonah's like, well, you couldn't have given me a better assignment out of all the prophets. Like, you're sending me. I get to go to Nineveh. And it honestly, right away, was something he didn't want to do, and he knew it in his heart. Like, God, how could you ask me to do this? And so verse 3 says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. He's like, okay, so I ain't going to Nineveh. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go to this place called Tarshish. That's a fun place. I'm going to go to Tarshish, and I'm going to jump on this boat, and I'm going to pay them, and I'm taking off, and I'm literally just going to go the opposite way. Okay. So as we look at choices here, let's just stop for a second. Here's my first tip already. This far, only 3 verses into Jonah, we can see something here. Do it God's way. The first tip is do it God's way. God comes up to Jonah, the creator of the universe, who knows everything, who's literally brought Jonah into like his ministry and his kingdom and said, you're going to be my mouthpiece. I'm going to take these heavenly words, like truth from God himself, and you're going to speak them. Like, you would think a prophet at this point would understand, if he decided, okay, God, I'll be a prophet, that the things that God says are powerful, right? And that was actually kind of the problem. We'll see that in a minute. He believed God would do what God said he was going to do. And so instead of doing it God's way, though, Jonah decides to do it Jonah's way. He jumps on this boat to Tarshish and is like, let me just do it myself. Does that sound familiar at all in your life? Like, can you relate at all to Jonah, even just in those first couple of verses? When God's like, hey, I want you to do a thing. And you're like, that actually sounds really difficult. That sounds like the hard way, God. I'm not sure I can do that. Let me just try it this way and it'll be good and you'll see. And you try to do it your own way. You try to do something else. When God's like, hey, listen, I want you to share my word. I want you to talk about Jesus with this person in your class. And you're like, that sounds really hard and embarrassing and awkward. And I don't know if I even have the social skills to do that or enough knowledge of the Bible to do that. Like, excuse after excuse after excuse, I'm sending out to God. Let me just do this my way and just not do it or try to work around it. And that's what Jonah's like, no, like, I'm not going to do it your way. I can't do this. He runs, gets on this boat, and he takes off, and he tries to go to a completely different place in the opposite direction. Man, like, doesn't sound like a very good prophet, first of all, like, from the beginning. Like, this is your job, man. Like, you've got one job. Just do the job. Like, this is what God has called you to do, and you're running instead in fear, just trying to do it a different way. He tried to do things his own way, and that was the problem. We should do it God's way. So if you're like, man, I want to make wise choices, stop thinking that you're going to make the wise choice. That's our first mistake. I'm going to make this wise choice. No, you're not. No, I'm not. We just don't make wise choices. We don't have enough knowledge to be able to do that. God's got all of it. We know someone who knows your entire future. He has it all planned out and mapped out from before the beginning of time. And we're like, actually, I got this one, God. Let me do it my way. But wait, from my limited perspective, I think I'm going to make a better decision than the God of the universe. Just do it God's way. Like, we need to be willing to surrender right from the beginning and be like, you know what? You're going to do this better than me. Why don't I go and say, God, what is it you want for my life first? Your decisions will 100% of the time be better if you start off consulting God first and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do, and doing it God's way. So let's fast forward a little bit. Let's jump and see what happens. Jonah 1:17, a couple verses ahead, we see something happens here. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Okay, there's a little plot twist for us, right? If you know the story of Jonah, here's where like the crazy part happens. This fish swallows Jonah. So they're out on a boat. Let me just kind of catch you up real quick. They're on this boat and the waves go nuts and there's a storm and the sailor, they're like, we're going to die, dude. We're dying, all of us. Who sinned against God? And they start drawing straws. Jonah pulls a short one and they're like, it's him. Get him off the boat. So all these dudes come around him and toss him off the boat. And then as he falls in the water, because he's the one that's cursing them, basically, like this big, God prepares this great fish to swallow him. And now he is in the stomach of a fish. Like, what? Dude, just do it God's way the first time. Now you're like in like sleeping in vomit for 3 nights. A fish vomit, which is probably way worse than any other vomit. I don't know. But he's there, and he probably hadn't planned on being there. It's interesting. When we try to make our own choice and we run from God, we usually end up like this. We usually end up where we never thought we'd be. Like, he looked up. He didn't think he was going to be in a fish's belly. He probably didn't even know that was a possible thing. Like, I didn't know that till I read this story, right? And all of a sudden, he's in a fish's belly. He's like, this isn't what I planned. I planned to go to Tarshish. I planned to like do this whole other thing. And I was positive I had all the details worked out. I found the boat. I paid the guys. I got my fare. I did all of this stuff to get away and follow my plan. But that's what sin does. You're like, sin? I thought it was just a bad choice. But when you're running from God in your choices and God's telling you to do something and you're saying no, that's disobedience. It's not just a bad choice. I'm literally disobeying God. So here's what we have to stop doing. I'm just a teenager, man. I don't always make right choices. It's more than that. It's more than that. A lot of times we're just disobeying God and we're blaming it on being young. A lot of times it's not just a bad choice. It's straight up disobedience and a rebellion to God. And we want to play the age card because adults nowadays want to help you play the age card and entitle you. When people with the Bible who are younger than you guys were doing things to change the world, why are we making excuses for the youth of our generation? You don't need excuses made for you. You need to do things God's way. You know, look up at God and say, God, like, what is it you want me to do? Let me do it that way. Let me follow you. A lot of times we rebel and we disobey and we say, God, no, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. And that sin leads you to places you never knew you were going. You look up and you are in the belly of a fish. You look up and you are in a mess. And you're like, how did I get here? I thought I was fine. I thought I had this thing figured out. Well, just like Jonah, right? Because he thought that too. But here's the thing, like that fish wasn't a punishment. A lot of people are like, man, he was punished. He got stuck in a fish's belly. What I see there is salvation. God was gracious to let that fish swallow him so he didn't die in that storm in the middle of the ocean, get eaten by sharks or whatever else could have happened to him. God had grace and mercy on Jonah to send this fish. And this fish represents Jesus. Like saving us when we don't deserve it. God sent this fish to save Jonah when he didn't deserve it. When he was in the middle of his sin and rebellion, going, God, leave me alone. I'm trying to run away from you. I don't want you talking to me. I'm going this way. You go that way. God's like, even in the middle of that mess, here I come to save you again. And he sends a fish to save Jonah. Man, that's us. That's us, because the Bible says, God shows his love to us and that while we're sinning, Christ died for us. So in the middle of your sin and rebellion, God's like, I still love you. You might be here tonight and you're like, man, my life is a mess. All it would take is seeing like your social media. Look at that for 1 second and be like, okay, this person's making some bad choices. And you're like, man, God, how could God forgive me? How could God be okay with this? How could God use a person like me? And the deal is that in the middle of your sin, God says, I love you. I sent Jesus to die for you in the middle of your sin. You're not too far gone for me. If Jonah had just been like, man, I'm turning around and going back, right? But he didn't. He was like, God, I'm out. Peace. I'm going. And so God was gracious enough to change his plans. God changes Jonah's plans for him. That's grace. And a lot of times we look at that and we're frustrated by it. And we're like, God, why'd you do this? Why'd you allow this thing to happen? Did you see me get swallowed by a fish, God? And we're like throwing our fists in the air like, man, God, where were you to protect me from this fish? And he's like, the fish was your salvation, dummy. Like, I literally used it to save you and you're upset about this thing. But how often do we do that? We're upset about these things in our lives that God's actually using to rescue you because you're headed toward a cliff and this heartbreak comes and stops you and wakes you up. And you're like, man, how'd you let that happen in my heart, God? And he's like, it saved you. Transformed you. It changed your path because you were headed to destruction. And I let this happen as an act of grace on your life. This fish was grace. This fish was a blessing. This fish helped change Jonah's bad decision that he made and bring him back onto the path that God actually had for him to do it God's way. So we should be doing it God's way. Look at Jonah 3. We're really going to jump ahead. Fast forward to chapter 3. Look at verses 1 to 3. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. He's been thrown up by now by the fish, saying, arise, get up out of the vomit, right? Go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. He's like, go to this massive, awesome city I called you to, as scary as it might be. He's like, wait a minute, I think I heard you. This is like deja vu. I heard you say this before. Before I got swallowed by a fish, you said the same thing. You told me to get up, go to Nineveh and give them your message because I'm a prophet. This was God's way, right? How much easier would it have been if he had just gone to God in the beginning and obeyed instead of rebelling, trying to do it his own way, be like, no, that's not how I want to do it, God. That relationship that you're in that isn't honoring God, you're like, man, I want to do it this way. This is more pleasurable to do, have a physical relationship than a godly spiritual relationship that honors you. And I'd rather do it this way, God. And he's like, that's the wrong way. Until you've messed up into a point where it changes the course of your entire life. And God has to use that to redirect you anyway. Why don't we go to God first and say, how do I honor you in my relationships? How do I honor you in my life, in my mind, in my choices? Let me just do it your way from the beginning. Let me skip the big fish salvation part. Let me just listen to you and obey you. Listen, you'll never make wise choices unless you're willing to obey God. You will never make one wise choice in your entire life unless you are willing to obey God, because that's where the wisdom comes from. It starts with the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. So if you're not fearing the Lord, you're not making wise choices. Why don't we just start there? Why don't we just go to the one who knows everything and say, hey, I know you know everything, so let me do it your way. Honestly, I think sometimes we do that. Like, we start that way, and then we hear what he has to say, and we get mad, and we're like, but I don't want to do it that way. Like, that's not the answer I was hoping for or expecting you to give me. That doesn't sound like what I had in mind. And that's where we go wrong. We're like, let me just go do it my way. Anyway, that's what Jonah did. And so God turned him around and put him back on the path if he had just done it God's way. The second tip for tonight is this that we see with Jonah is to do it wholeheartedly. If you're gonna do it God's way, if you're gonna make this choice, you need to be willing to make the choice wholeheartedly with all of you, not just a piece of you, not just for a moment and then give up on it, but like fully send it. Like be like, God, I'm going, I'm doing the thing you told me to do. Look at Jonah 3, 5 to 10. It says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. So he goes, he preaches what God wanted him to preach. All these people in this crazy New York City-like city are listening, and they are actually listening to Jonah and believing it. The people of Nineveh believed God, it says. What if you went today by yourself, jumped on a plane, went up to New York, you start walking through the streets, and as you're preaching it, people are literally just coming out of buildings and just believing it and praying to receive Jesus as you walk through the city. How mind-blowing would that be? It's almost like we don't believe that could actually happen. I wonder if Jonah believed it or not. He's going to tell us in a minute, right? Spoiler alert. But how many of us would be like, would that even happen? Is that even possible? Listen, if God told you to do it, don't you think he has a reason? He's not a dummy. God knows everything. So he sends him, And he starts walking through the city and people get saved. People are believing him. It says they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. And let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that's in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he didn't do it. All right. Jonah goes, he obeys, he does it God's way. People start to hear, they're getting saved. Word gets to the king, and the king's like, I believe too. Turns his life over to God, and then makes a decree that everyone in the nation is going to give up the evil that they were doing. They're all going to fast, not eat food, as this like sign of like remorse and repentance. They would put ashes and wear this like really scratchy clothing to like be an outward sign of like their remorse and repentance or mourning if someone died. So he's like, we're all going to do this. And we're all going to together sit before God and just pray and call out and repent. This entire city is declared by the king that they will all go to God and be like, we're in repentance and mourning and we're sorry for what we've done. And we're begging you to forgive us and not destroy us. An entire city. One of the most powerful cities on the earth at the time. One man walks through who doesn't even want to go there. The dude didn't even want to go. He ran the other way and got swallowed by a fish. That's the guy that God calls and uses. He's walking through and an entire nation gets saved. What would happen when God says this crazy thing to you and calls you to do it and you're like, that's insane. How am I ever going to do that? And he's like, I used people all through the Bible that didn't think they could do it because they couldn't do it. God's like, I'm showing off my power. I want to use you to do things you cannot do on your own. So when people see it, they're like, he gets the credit. God did this. God did this incredible thing through Jonah. It wasn't Jonah's like eloquent speeches and like making people laugh and like talking about the Bible and helping people. Like, no, Jonah just shows up. He's upset. He doesn't even want to be there. He wishes he hadn't come. And God's like, boom, I'm doing a miracle through you. And this entire nation gets saved. Wonder what happens when you say yes. Even to the things you think are crazy or you don't want to do. I wonder if on the flip side, God already has this thing planned out, and you'll find out, man, I'm so glad I said yes to Jesus. I'm so glad I obeyed even when I was scared or angry or upset or whatever the thing is that's trying to hold you back tonight. The thing that maybe even tonight God's been knocking on your heart being like, obey me, do this thing, obey me. You're like, I'm in middle school, Rob. I'm a seventh grader. What am I going to do? I don't know. This dude was in a fish's belly. I think he can use a seventh grader. I think he can use anybody he wants to use. You're not too young. God has plans and he knows. If he's calling you to do it, say yes. Let him blow your mind. Let him do a miracle. Stand back at the end of the day and be like, God, I never saw this coming. I'd rather end up in that moment of never having saw it coming than end up in a fish's belly and never having saw it coming, you know? Like, this is a much better alternative to an ending here and a surprise. To say, God, you did what I never could have imagined. Just because you say yes and you do it God's way. This wise decision, which he did make this time, right? He had some help getting back on the path. But when God said, get up and go, this is the second time I'm telling you, Jonah went. He made a wise decision this time. He didn't go back again and get on the boat and get swallowed all over again. Jonah actually got up and went to Nineveh and obeyed God. That's a wise decision. And this time, an entire nation of people came to faith in God. It's because he said yes. God's like, hey, I want you to go on this mission trip. And you're like, I can't leave the country. Are you kidding me? How am I going to go on that mission trip? I don't like planes. I don't speak a foreign language. I don't like other people's food. I only eat chicken nuggets anyway. Like, what am I going to eat? What? How am I going to go on this mission trip? And God's like, I got this. Just do it God's way. Let him shock you and surprise you and do incredible things, because he always will when you obey him and do it his way. And jump ahead a little bit. Jonah 4, verses 1 to 3, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. But Jonah got ticked off, okay? Look at why. It says, and he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee, why I took off to Tarshish. For I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. He's like, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. What? Take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live, he said. This dude, right? He finally makes the right choice because God literally forced him into it. He sees this unbelievable miracle take place in front of his eyes. And he's upset about it to the point where he's like, God, kill me. I don't want to live now. Instead of jumping up with joy, like, holy cow, God, you just blew my mind. He's upset to the point where he's like, God, take my life. Because he goes, God, I knew. It wasn't that he didn't think God could do it. He was a prophet. He knew God could do it. But see, the thing about prophets is when they say a thing's going to happen and they're saying it coming from God, that thing should happen, right? Or they look like they can't do their job. And he's like, God, why are you telling me to go say this when I know that you're gracious and you're going to forgive these people? I just know it. And then I'm going to look like a fool because I told them that this disaster was going to come and it's not. So don't send me. I'd rather go to the fish's belly. I'd rather you take my life, right? He's fighting God in this whole thing. Instead of being excited that God's doing this miracle, he's worried about the way he looks. One thing that stops us from doing it God's way is worrying about our own pride. The way I'll look if I say yes to Jesus. If I stop living this way, my friends are going to notice. And what will they say about me? What will they think about me? How much fun will I miss out on that all my friends are going to do that I can no longer do because now I'm doing it God's way and they're not, right? All these thoughts come in. All this pride, all this like, man, what about me stuff happens. And I go, man, I don't know if I can do it your way, God, because there's just too much stacked up against this. There's too much I'll lose. There's too much on the line to say yes to you. See, God wants all of you, not just a piece of you. He's like, give it all to me and say yes and follow me. And Jonah was like, man, I knew you would do this. I knew you would just be gracious because that's who you are and you're merciful. And so in the secret part of his heart, he was more worried about his own pride. Instead of being like a David who gets up in front of a giant and is willing with his whole heart to get out there and risk his entire life to like obey God and do the thing everyone literally told David, you're too small, you're too weak, you're not a good enough fighter, like you're too young, you can't beat this giant. Nobody in Israel wants to like face him. And David's like, I don't care. None of that matters because God said it. What if that mindset had been Jonah's? How would this have been a different story? Would have made things a lot easier for Jonah just to believe God from the beginning and do it God's way like David did and say, if God said it, he will do it. And I want to see God's words come to fruition, right? The difference is that for David, like God was real. And I'm not saying that Jonah didn't believe God existed. They both believed God existed, right? They both followed him. But for David, God was like real in his own heart and life. So like from the inside, David was like passionate about who God was. And he was like, take all of me. Jonah was like, I know you're real. I know you're powerful. I respect you. But he wasn't ready to say, take all of me. You're that real. I want you to take my whole life and do this thing. And it doesn't matter what I look like or what people think about me. I'm going because you said so. Listen, when you're trying to make a wise choice, you got to be willing to take the whole thing and say, God, it's all of me. Take the whole thing, right? Make a wholehearted decision. And that's why this tip number two is Make that decision wholeheartedly. Say, I'm not holding back. I'm not keeping pieces of me or pieces of this decision. But God, whatever you want, take it all. I don't care about my pride in this. I just care about seeing your will happen. His will is always going to be the wisest decision. So when you're willing to take all your life and be like, I'm putting at your feet, do it. It will always be the best decision that you can make. Finally, this last tip is this. Value the right things right from the beginning, like right from the start. Value the right things. If your heart is in the right place, you'll make the right choice. Let's look at and see what Jonah messed up here. Jonah 4, 9 to 11. Jump to that last chapter. It says, but God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry for the plant. Angry enough to die, he says. This dude is ticked. And the Lord said, you pity the plant, you pity the fool, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't know their right hand from their left? And I love this phrase. And also much cattle. Okay. They had cows too, apparently. Listen. Jonah was ticked off because he's sitting out, he's sulking, he had just seen the people like accept Jesus or accept God, and like God shows up in a powerful way, does what Jonah was expecting. And as he's sitting out there looking over the city in the hot sun, he's like really, really hot, and God causes this plant to basically grow up over him and give him shade. And he's like, sweet, I got this awesome shade now to sulk under. And then this thing dies. It withers up and dies, and now the sun's hot again. And he's like, man, God, and he's all upset again. Something else to complain about. This dude's an Eeyore. And so he's like, God, what's going on? And God's like, this was just a lesson for you. You're upset about a plant that you didn't plant the seed or water it or make it grow. Like, you're mad it died, and you're so heartless. You care more about a plant than 120,000 people and their cows. Their cows, right? Like, they're humans. These people, their eternal life was hanging in the balance, Jonah. And you care about a stupid plant, dude. Listen, that might sound ridiculous until you start to really look at some of like your life and your decisions. This is what happened to me. I was like, whoa, that sounds ridiculous. How could Jonah care more about that plant? And I was like, but sometimes I've done that. Actually, a lot of times I do that. The things I think are important in my life are just this like pointless plant. You're like, this isn't valuable. In comparison to eternity, in comparison to the things God wants to do in and through my life to save people's eternal destinies, and I'm worried about a one-hour moment that will affect my life, or some dumb like physical possession that I don't have, or like these things over here, right, that are very temporary, these things tend to often sway my decision or put me in a bad mood. God, why? And he's like, Rob, how are you so heartless that you care more about those temporary, meaningless things that in the end, they're just garbage, than you care about eternity? Like, we're talking about forever. The decisions God will help you make are in perspective of eternity. That if you can't see that, you're only going to see this little piece of your life, and you're going to think, man, God, you're so unfair. And that's all you're going to see, because you can't see past that. You don't have a perspective past yourself and what you want and your desires, and it's always going to be, God, you're unfair. And then God goes boom and blows up your perspective to where you can see in light of forever, and now you can actually see the full picture and go, God, you were right the whole time. Why didn't I just listen to you from the beginning? Why didn't I throw everything into the ring wholeheartedly and say, God, let's do this? But even Jonah, he was so focused on this dumb thing. And what he meant by the plant was Jonah's pride. Your pride is so useless. All the glory belongs to God anyway. What are you trying to like look good for in front of people? Jonah, nobody cares but you. But that's where it was for him. That's what held him back from making this choice. I mean, what will people say about me? Think about me. Listen, that often is the thing that stops us. I could follow God, but what will people say about me? What will they think about me? Maybe you come every night and there's like this thing that happens to you at the end of our service and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, raise your hand and make this choice. I want you to give this piece of your life up tonight. And you, every time you're like, no, what will people think about me? They think I've like been doing it right this whole time. They'll judge me. They'll think I've been a liar. They'll think all these thoughts come in your head, right, that stop you from wanting to be like, let me make this good, wise decision tonight. Some of you haven't been baptized for that very reason. You're worried about what people will say about you. Maybe you've waited too long to do it and now you're embarrassed. And God's like, forget that. In light of eternity, standing up for Jesus and the faith he's put in your heart is so much more valuable. That piece of your heart you don't want to give up, that sin that you've been clutching to, and God's like, forget that. Like, this is so much more valuable. This is eternity we're talking about. And Jonah just could not get that through his head as he sits under this stupid, withering plant. He was just so much more concerned about himself and the way he looked. And you can test yourself here. You can stop for a second and just be like, what are the things that I hold really dear in my life? Which ones are the ones that I'm clinging to so tightly that like they're getting in the way of me making wise decisions for Jesus? He keeps calling me. He keeps asking me to do things. But these things over here, this person in my life, you know, your age, boyfriends and girlfriends, right? That's the thing that has locked you in and you fall in love and the butterflies go and like all you can think about is this dopamine addiction to this person and they just dictate everything about your life. And God's like, hey, listen, I'm over here. And you're like, oh, but actually, no, I can't even, I gotta, relationships are powerful, so powerful. Are they holding you back? Maybe it's that sport that you play that you have to impress people. You have to make mom and dad proud. You have to show your friends what you can do. You have to feel good about yourself for being like the best at that sport. And it is all about that sport in your life that is just kind of like got you, right? And so because of that, God's like, hey, listen, but hold on. I got this thing for you. And you're like, God, I don't have time to serve your people. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to like serve the homeless or the people that are in need right now. I don't. And you're like, God's like, But this is eternal. That sport will be forgotten one day. Your trophies will fade and disappear and get thrown in some dump somewhere. But we're talking about eternity here. And I could go on and on, right, with this list of things. It's not just sports and relationships. There are lots of things in life that are temporary, that are stopping us. So what is it for you? What are those things, because it's probably more than one for us, that you're clinging to so tightly, you're not saying yes to Jesus because you're so infatuated with those things in your life. Proverbs 23:7, it says, for he is like one who's inwardly calculating, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You know, it's possible for us to like fake it. We act like we're into God's decisions. Like Jonah actually got up and went to Nineveh. And then all of a sudden ends up sitting under this tree and is like, what? God, just kill me. You know, it's possible for us to be calculating like that and for our hearts not to match with our words and our actions. And so sometimes we look like we're following Jesus. We even like try to let God think that as if we could fool him. We want our friends maybe to think that, but inwardly this other thing controls us. And we're so scared to admit it and just say, God, take it from me. Maybe tonight that's you. Maybe tonight God says, hey, give those things up and just follow me. What are you holding on to so tightly that's stopping you? Philippians 4, 8, and 9 says this, okay? It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, that third tip that we said, value the right things from the start. These are it. Philippians, Paul tells us, listen, brothers, all of these things that honor God, they're honorable and true and pure and lovely and commendable, like worthy of praise and excellent. All of these things, like when you set your mind on Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm looking at you. I see who you are. I see like what you're like, and I want my mind to be set on that. I want my heart to be full of those things. Because when my heart's full of those things, guess what I'm able to do? I'm able to make decisions out of those things. When my heart and mind, they're just full of garbage and sin and just terrible thoughts and feelings and desires, guess what my decisions will come out of? The mess that's in my heart. And I don't know about you, we're not making good decisions out of that mess. So what we should do is say, God, fill us. Like Paul's saying, fill me up with the right things. Fill me up with things that look like Jesus. Cause me to be a person who looks like Jesus. Let me spend enough time with Jesus in the Word, learning about him and praying to him and worshiping him and saying yes to him, that the more I'm around Jesus, the more I look like Jesus, the more my heart is full of the things that are in Jesus' heart. So when I make these choices that I want to make, and I want them to be wise, right? Wise decisions, they're decisions Jesus would have made himself. Because his heart's in me. Let it be from the core of who you are when you make these choices, and let that core be Jesus. Let your mind rest in him and think about him. Let your heart yearn for Jesus. Be like, God, I want you. I want Jesus more than anything in my life. And guess what? Your decisions will be wise decisions because they're coming from Jesus. They're not coming from you. The Holy Spirit's working through you to give you the right path. We get so freaked out. We're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make this choice. I don't know where I'm going to go after this or what I'm going to do. And God's like, chill out. You don't need to know the answer to those questions. You just need your heart to be full of the right things. You can do that. You can confess your sin before Jesus. You can decide to follow him and let him take you by the hand and say, let's do life. Come on. And then all of a sudden, the answers come because the heart's right. The right things are in your heart. What's in your heart tonight? If you were to be honest with yourself, with God right now, would you say that your heart is full of things that honor Jesus? Would you say that your heart and mind, maybe your mind's just racing through all the things you're nervous about, and they're sinful, they're broken things that you want so badly, that you're chasing after? Maybe they're not necessarily like sinful things, but they're not things of the Lord. They're just material, temporary things that are distracting you. And that's okay. Because tonight, God is having just as much mercy and grace on us as he did with Jonah. And hopefully he's not sending a fish to swallow you on your way home, right? But like, I would pray that that same thing happens, that this salvation happens, this thing that maybe changes our direction, because some of us might be walking the wrong way. So I even pray tonight that even if it shakes you up a little bit or a lot, that he would do it. Change your path. Turn you back to the way you're supposed to go. Send you to Nineveh if that's where he wants you to be. You see, like, here's the thing, though. Sometimes this whole scenario that we got going on here, this represented a bad choice earlier. But life just isn't that simple sometimes. Sometimes we look at this, and this is actually how we see Jesus. This thing over here is the thing that, like, I can see. It's easy. I know what I'm getting when I get this. This is the physical stuff around me that's easy to understand, and it's the here and the now and this like immediate gratification that we're so used to in our age, right? Like, this is the thing. I know what I have. It's beef jerky. I'm walking off the stage with it, and I'm good, and so it feels safe. this safe choice. I want to cling to and clutch onto it and be like, no, like this is the easy thing. This relationship makes me feel comfortable. I'm like familiar with this person and I like the way this is. I'm clinging to this. And God's like, hey, that's not the best for you. But you're like, but I'm comfortable with this. I know what it is, but it's not the best for you. I'm actually calling you to do the thing that's over here, the thing that's difficult because you can't see in it. You don't know the future. You don't know what will happen. This requires faith. This thing could be empty. Whatever's in here could be broken. You don't know. This doesn't seem to require faith, so it seems like the easier choice. But maybe God tonight is telling you, hey, listen, this is what I want you to choose. I want you to trust me tonight that I could take you to Nineveh. I want you to trust me tonight that if you give up on this thing that you've been worshiping as an idol in your life, that I'm coming through for you and I'll fulfill you even more. Maybe tonight you... God's like, I want you to accept my son Jesus as your savior, but you've been clinging to what you're used to, and that seems scary. It's like, I want you to trust me because it's going to be so much better. I don't know what it is for you tonight, but maybe you're looking at it and you're like, this thing I can't accept because the stuff that I already have seems so much easier to cling on to. And I just wonder, maybe God's telling you tonight, do the difficult thing. Make the choice that requires more faith, that you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you know God said it. And because he said it, you're like, all right, this is going to be hard. But if you said it, I'm believing it. That's always going to be a wise choice. Every single time. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Guys over there in the corner, can you guys pay attention, please? Maybe right now you just ask the Lord to show you your choices and your decisions and say, God, is there something you've been calling me to? Something you've been speaking to my heart I've been ignoring or I've been scared of tonight? Will you bring that up to my heart and mind tonight? You've been asking me to make a good choice, a wise choice, but I've been pushing it off tonight. God, right now, would you speak into our hearts? Help us to say yes, even if it's scary. Would you ask the Lord to do that in your work right now, in your heart right now?